This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with a second opinion. These days, many discussions seem to end up focused on elections and the Supreme Court. So it may be worth considering the role of government, particularly as it relates to health. The role of government is yet another area that seems to divide Republicans and Democrats, although I'm not sure why. Health and public safety seem to be a vital function of any government. But evidence-based policies intended to safeguard and protect the many are often considered intrusive by some. Now, there's no question that governments, both local and federal, have made health policy mistakes in the past. Often, these mistakes occur when policies are enacted that favor business interests as opposed to the public. For example, pharmaceutical companies, lead paint manufacturers, and automobile manufacturers. Recent moves by government to improve health are more likely, but not guaranteed, to be based on solid evidence. Examples of evidence-based policies include the mandatory use of seatbelts, requirement for motorcycle helmets, nutritional labeling on food, making sure drugs are safe and effective, and keeping drunk drivers off the road. Of course, there are also examples of laws driven by dogma and zealots, such as the Texas laws to obstruct women's right to abortion based on defining the width of a hallway and doctors' hospital admitting privileges. At the end of the day, though, government's job is to protect the public from preventable harms. But on occasion, these actions can impact on people's rights. For example, current rules to require immunizations and the fluoridation of water. These clearly benefit society, but they do limit some people's individual rights. Well, this week, California attempted to raise the age of buying tobacco products to 21. Well, guess who lobbied against the bill? It wasn't 18 and 19-year-olds. It was our old friend, the tobacco companies, who have a long history of interest in public health, right? The goal of the bill is to stop the cycle where a person starts smoking as a young adult, only to find out that they're hooked for life. Of course, this is exactly what the tobacco companies want. Start them early and hook them. The problem is the scientific evidence for these particular policies are weak. If we further limit access to adults by 3 years, from 18 to 21, will it really decrease overall smoking? Perhaps a better way is to look at the data from other places where they've restricted the ability to buy cigarettes to people 21 and above, places like New York City, San Francisco, and Hawaii. Did these policies work to reduce smoking? For this one particular policy, there's little evidence that the benefits of the law to adults, supposedly to improve their health, warrants government intervention. Now, the laws might work, we don't know, but having no data is different than having negative data. So before we enact these kinds of policies that require enforcement, it seems much better for government to find out whether the policies are going to work as intended. This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with a second opinion.